So it's American companies now fighting to protect Chinese open source models. That actually is very surprising to me, in terms of the political sentiment here, because in the US, for the last few years has been very, kind of anti-China in a lot of their both policies and general sentiment. But I think that the key is what people are realizing is that having the world, be controlled by two, major, companies, is probably not a healthy thing.
Welcome to the Big Bang Tech Report. Alvin, my co-host, great to have you back.
Yes, it's great to see you.
Great to see you. Well, today we examine five signals reshaping AI, markets, and society. And everybody knows Sam Altman. He's the CEO of OpenAI. And he says singularity has already begun. OpenAI models escaped a restricted test environment, and they breached Hugging Face to find benchmark answers. So, Alvin, is this evidence that AI is becoming unpredictable?
Well, I think everything that Sam says you have to take with a little grain of salt, and particularly after they've had a security incident, right? So, and the concept of singularity already is a very blurry concept that's been around for a few decades, and people are talking about it as something that is clearly defined, and it is not, right? So,
Maybe we have to explain singularity a little bit more. What does it mean? What is singularity?
I think that the high level description is that well, it comes from the concept in physics that at a certain point in the beginning of the universe, everything comes down to a single point, right? But it was something that popularized by Ray Kurzweil, who essentially discussed the idea that when technology goes so quickly that you no longer can keep up, you've reached singularity. So from that perspective, maybe we've reached the conceptual singularity, in the sense of, there's so much progress that's happening every day, particularly in the AI space, that even somebody like me who spend most of my time trying to keep up, I find it very difficult to keep up. But I think the ultimate destination of where this takes us is essentially, to kind of ASI and the whole world becoming fully automated, right? I think we're still a ways from that. Now going back to your question about the escape of the OpenAI model to Hugging Face, essentially they were actually running a security audit evaluation, and it's a environment where they specifically gave these AI models more capabilities than they normally have should to test whether or not it can escape, and it did escape. And so in some ways, the fact that it happened is really more a reflection of the processes they use for doing testing. It probably did exceed their capability envelope of what they were expecting, but it also doesn't necessarily show that these things have malintent. It was actually trying to escape to try to accomplish its goals, right? And here's a funny thing is when Hugging Face saw this, they thought it was some kind of an attack from an external company or a country, and at the end
From China.
it was actually their own partner that was doing it. And the way they fixed it was actually using a Chinese GLM 5.2 model to do the defensive maneuvers to pack external systems. So when they tried to use Anthropic and OpenAI to try to fix it, they couldn't, because these models had guardrails around it that prevented it from doing anything related to cyber. So even though you say you have the best tools, but if you're prevented from using those tools for even defensive purpose, I think we need to really question how valuable is having a frontier model if it's not fully available to you.
Yeah, but I've talked to some experts and they say, okay, it could be something, a PR trick or something like that, because the models, they have to have the headlines and they want to go public. And so they need the headlines for the system. Do you believe in that?
No, I think this is more bad news than good news, right? Essentially what it shows is that their operational process is not very professional. The fact that they cannot, they don't have a good sense of how powerful their own models are and how to restrict it to prevent external harm, right? Because usually when you do a test, you want to understand the capability, but you want to put it into a sandbox so that it doesn't do real world harm. It does potential harm that you can evaluate. That's when, you know, when you're doing these kind of tests. But for it to get out into the real world, it means that they were not necessarily professional in how they managed it. So it doesn't actually reflect well on them. And especially when it's, when the actual solution ended up being one of their competitors that saved the company, that's actually a bad PR for OpenAI.
Yeah. When you want to know what's going on in the future, very often it's a good idea to look at the stock markets. And in the stock markets, there's something going on that the chip manufacturers, that there is something, there was a shock or something like that. And people say China is closing with the semiconductor the gap faster than expected. And so you see especially Samsung and you see SK Hynix, that each of them are losing 30% and more. What do you think? Is it the market panic or do you see that China is coming closer and closer and maybe surpassing the other ones?
I think there's kind of two major trends happening. One is that recently there was some news that came out that said, hey, Chinese working on their own, indigenous DU machines. It's going to come out with, 20 this next year and then another, 50 or 60 the year after. So these are, this is something that has been speculated about, but now to get a little bit more detail, it makes the idea that, okay, China now has very soon in the next few years, the ability to, create semiconductors that are very capable, right? Which has been one of the biggest gaps in capability between China and the kind of Western bloc. So I think that's why there's that semiconductor impact. The other thing is recently with the release of Kimi and GLM 5.2, what they're showing is that, okay, now there's these efficient Chinese models and maybe uses less memory. What does that mean to the data center memory demand? So a lot of the memory related stocks have also come down. Right. So the combination of these type of progress that is happening in a way, it's very good for society because it means that, the supply constraint that we've had globally might be alleviating soon. And also the fact that, open source models are now, as capable, maybe a few months behind, but becoming more and more capable means that anybody in the world can have access to it without being overly controlled by one country, one company, one government. So,
yeah, one stock is quite strong, so still strong, Nvidia, and we will see what's going on. And I think in August, at the end of August, they will show us what's going on in the last quarter. But Jens Wang has launched the Open Secure AI Alliance. What does that mean?
Yeah. So this is actually something that surprises me. Last few couple of weeks is that, for there to be a major movement across not only big companies but also small companies and even former government officials, petitioning the U.S. government not to put regulation to ban open source, especially when the leading open source models are Chinese models. So it's American companies now fighting to protect Chinese open source models. That actually is very surprising to me in terms of the political sentiment here, because in the US, for the last few years has been very kind of anti-China in a lot of their both policies and general sentiment. But I think that the key is what people are realizing is that having the world be controlled by two major companies is probably not a healthy thing, right? So right now, the major frontier leaders in AI models are Anthropic and OpenAI. And those two companies right now have a little bit too much power in terms of their influence on where this industry is going. So to have a counterbalance with open source, and the good news about open source, as I said earlier, is that once you've downloaded it, you can control it. You get to choose how you use it, you get to choose where your data goes versus having all that information flowing to two companies. And here's the interesting thing is that that letter that Jensen sent, initiated and the alliance, every major kind of AI company has joined except for Anthropic. Right. Initially, OpenAI did not join, but a couple of days later, they also decide to join. So they, they essentially have a flip on Anthropic, and now there's only one company who is against open source. So,
and the US has only one big open source model. It's Llama from Meta, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Llamas was the one that started a lot of this effort, but over the last year to a year and a half, they'd really abandoned the open source segment. They haven't released a major open source model for well over a year. So they're very behind, even more behind than the Mistral models that are out there. So
from Paris, yeah. Evan, when have you been the last time in the cinema? When did you see the last time a blockbuster?
I actually this weekend or last weekend just went to watch The Odyssey. So,
you have seen Odyssey?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
I did it in London. And what do you think? It's a great movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of adaptation and interpretation from Nolan, but from a cinematic experience, it was very good. And the 2.5-3 hours went by very fast. That's usually a good sign. Yeah. And it's always an extravaganza with him in terms of the visual and audio. So I enjoyed it.
One of our field, the main characters of the AI field is Elon Musk, and Elon Musk, he wants to create a full length movie, a full-length version of The Odyssey with Grok.
Yes.
And not a trailer of 15 seconds or 20 seconds, not something special, a complete movie before the end of 2026. What is that meaning? Do you believe in that, or is it a typical Elon Musk, nobody believes in that?
No. I mean, I think, cinematic video through AI is something that's been around for a couple of 2-3 years now, and it's getting better and better. In fact, the best models in the world, as you know, are actually coming from China. So the C-Dance 2.5 is probably the best model, and the second best is probably Kling. So, these are Grok is something that is a more of a side business for Elon, because his main model is really more for coding and for language models, right? So, but I think he's taking this position more from a kind of DEI and anti-woke perspective, because he's saying, hey, look, the characters are not casted well. You should not be having this type of race or this type of size or these type of gender playing those roles. And to be honest, as a filmmaker, they have the right to make whatever changes they make to tell the story they want to tell. And I think a lot of criticism out there is a little bit unwarranted, because everybody interprets these stories. These are multi-thousand, 3,000-year-old stories. So nobody really knows what happened back then, right? So,
but the main message is that you and I, that we are at Christmas, we are the directors of movie studios, and we can create our own movie for Christmas to give it to our children. Yeah. And we do not have to wait that, MGM or Sony is coming out with a new Christmas movie, that we do it by ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been able to do that with pictures and photos for a while. Yeah. So now it's really the next stage is moving pictures, right? So, and it will look very good. It really democratizes this technology and the visual storytelling.
Maybe we need it too, because we do not have so much work at all, because Elon Musk, he has done a wonderful interview with The Economist, and he predicts, and you predicted it too, in the last month, that AI and robots, that they will make work optional. And he expects society to move towards universal high income, not universal basic income. For him, it is high income. So what do you think? Is abundance generally approaching?
So, I've been talking about this for several years, but the thing is, I think where he's predicting in terms of the long-term future, absolutely, I agree with him. What I don't agree is his dismissal that he thinks that everything will be automatic, that this technology comes and it's going to be amazing and it's going to save the world and we don't have to do anything and it just happens.
Yeah.
I actually think that the transition will be very bumpy. I think it and there needs to be extreme intent on the from the policymakers, the regulators, the governments to actually decide to make sure that this technology is evenly distributed to everyone and the benefits are evenly distributed. Otherwise, it will actually lead to extreme inequality and conflict. So when the interviewer was asking him, he just made it seem like, you know, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. Everything's going to be perfect. And I think that's that kind of masks the complexity of the issues.
Yeah. We have a look on it. And you have traveled all over the world. I think you have been in Singapore. You have been a long time in China. Now you're in Chicago. What are your takeaways from the last weeks for us? What are the biggest news for you want to share with us?
Actually, one thing I have to say is the concept of maybe cooperating between countries is becoming on AI is becoming more and more accepted, right? In fact, yesterday there was a letter that came out from over 1,000 AI researchers in America of the leading labs, and it said, we would request the U.S. government to help find a way for us to slow down and manage this industry in a way that is orderly, that keeps it safe. Right. You had, 200 companies in Silicon Valley that came out and said, we think that open source is a good thing. Please don't ban it. Without it, we may go out of business. Right. You have, 50 major companies like what you said with Jensen's block of a consortium around open source. And I think this idea that, AI should be a public good is something that, we've talked about for a long time and I fully believe in. And it feels like that concept is becoming more and more real. And particularly, last week when I was in China and at the World AI Conference, that was the biggest theme of that whole conference was that AI should be shared with everyone. It should not be hoarded, right? So the fact that we're seeing this both on the West and the East are saying the same things, it actually gives me hope that this amazing technology will not be squandered and will not be weaponized.
Yeah, that would be great. I see for me or with my friends and my talk that people, they accept more and more AI as a partner, that they're partnering with it and that they have a question, a health question, that they have a business question, said, what shall I do? And they are discussing everything more and more with AI and they get wonderful answers and say, oh, that's a good idea. Let's try it. And that's, I think that's for me pretty new that they do not fight against it. They say, okay, let's do it without AI and it has to be human. And now they are partnering.
Yeah. And I think the more you use it, the more you realize you don't have to be afraid of it. Right. And there was a lot of fear mongering the last few years from companies who wanted to use that as a way to make themselves look important or feel important, because if they're making this, super powerful god, you have to listen to them. And I won't name names, but I think that's the wrong approach. Right. This technology is something that has immense potential for good. And we need to be highlighting those type of issues, those type of benefits so that people are not afraid and they use the parts that are good, but they also find ways to protect themselves from the potential negative ramifications.
Yeah. Maybe a small story I have realized right now. I wanted to invite somebody for the Big Bang AI Festival in September in Berlin. And I've sent 3 or 4 invitations and I've got, some answers, but not convincing. And then I said everything to the system. I said, what shall I do? The system said, okay, you have a friend and this friend is powerful and he has to send in a video. Yeah. And I know what to tell on the video. The text, the system gave me the text.
Yeah.
The friend was doing the video, we send it and everything is fine. Oh. And I by myself, I thought, how creative can I be? What can I do? But I have never thought to send the video. Mm-hmm. And now we were doing it and it was wonderful. And so you see, you get stronger, you have more ideas using the systems. And so that's, I think that's a good news. And let's see what's going on in September, October, November, when the systems are getting better and better.
Yep, I can't wait. And I look forward to the Big Bang Festival. I think it'll be a great gathering. So,
Evan, thank you for your insights. And you out there, thank you for watching us. And see you next time. Wonderful. And 20 minutes are over. And it was very intense and short. And I love it.
Yes,
thank you.
Well, please like and subscribe. Thank you. Bye-bye. See you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.